Well, as sometimes is the case, Ed and Fred caught more fish on their first fishing trip than some people catch in many, many years combined. Before they took their boat back to the boat rental, they thought, well, wouldn't it be nice if we could somehow mark this spot so when we come back here, we can maybe experience this fishing adventure once again and be as successful. And so as Fred was lifting the anchor up out of the water into the boat, Ed had pulled out his pocket knife. And he began to etch a notch in the side of the boat where they were throwing the line out. And Fred's looking at him and thinking, what is he doing? He said, Ed, what do you think you're doing? That's not going to do any good. What if we get a different boat next time? Okay, boy, this is a rough crowd. Okay. Well, obviously, this is a lighthearted view of folly. But the reality is that folly is really no laughing matter. And unfortunately, all we have to do is look around. In the world in which we live, and we see example after example of folly, of foolishness, in both behavior as well as in words. And folly is detrimental to us, and not only to just those who are espousing it, but to those around them. And there is foolishness, folly, that pervades our culture right now. And so our culture is in trouble. Our society is in trouble. We desperately need an infusion of wisdom to combat the folly. Desperately. And here in Proverbs chapter 8, we have personified for us Lady Wisdom. She is contrasted with the adulteress, the woman of folly in chapter 7 that we looked at last week. And we see this contrast. We see how the adulteress was presenting herself and what she had to offer. And today at Proverbs 8, we see Lady Wisdom and what she has to offer as she presents herself. And we're going to observe some characteristics of wisdom that we see personified here in this chapter, Proverbs chapter 8. Please follow along with me in Proverbs 8. I'm going to read the entire chapter, but there are three characteristics I want to point out about wisdom. And so as I read this, be thinking about, what does this tell me about wisdom? Verse 1, does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? On the top of the heights, beside the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, at the opening of the city, at the entrance of the door, she cries out, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, discern prudence. O fools, discern wisdom. Listen, for I shall speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will produce right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, power is mine. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles and all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield than choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way, before His works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills I was brought forth. While He had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world, when He established the heavens, I was there. When He inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, and when He made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when He set for the sea its boundary, so that the water should not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, and I was beside Him as a master workman, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the world, His earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself, and all those who hate me love death. Well, here we have Lady Wisdom calling out, crying out, offering herself and her wares, if you will. What do we learn about wisdom? Three characteristics. Number one, wisdom is accessible. Wisdom is accessible. We see there in the first several verses, in contrast, again, to the woman of folly, the adulteress of chapter 7, who lurks in the corners, who doesn't want to be seen by all, who wants to appeal to the naive, to those lacking sense. But here we have Lady Wisdom in the heights, out in the public square, if you will, beside the gates. The gates designate the heart of commerce, judicial activity, and social exchange. It is here, at the top of the city wall, that she calls out. She makes herself available to all. Wisdom is accessible. Wisdom is available to all. All who will hear her, all who will heed her, all who will come and receive from her. In fact, verse 2 says she takes her stand, implying that she has planted herself there. She's not going anywhere. She's not getting up and moving somewhere else tomorrow. She's here to stay. She is continually calling out to those who will hear, those who will heed. She makes herself available to all. Verse 4, she appeals to all the sons of men, right? To you, O men, I call, and though my voice is to the sons of men. Again, as I've said many times, because it's written from a perspective, right? And often it's Solomon as a father writing to a son. The appeal is to, from a man's perspective. And so it is here. She is Lady Wisdom appealing to men to come and to receive from her. Again, in contrast to the Lady of Folly, the Woman of Folly in chapter 7. So she's calling to all who will hear. It's not an appeal to some elite group of people. Only those who are educated can have wisdom, some would say. Only those who have all these degrees behind their name. Maybe you've experienced the same thing I have. I have known people who've got multiple degrees, have intellect beyond compare, but have very little wisdom. And I've also known some who haven't even made it to graduating from high school, and they have tremendous wisdom. When it comes to life, when it comes to God, when it comes to living out the biblical truth. See, wisdom is available to all. Wisdom is accessible to all of us. We don't have to be part of an elite group. And there's a philosophy of thinking that is beginning to pervade our culture. It says if you're not part of a certain group, then you can't know, you can't understand, you're not in the know. You have to just listen to us. All these marginalized groups, right? And there are some within those groups, some out there who are saying if you're not part of a marginalized group of people in this society, you can't fully understand. You can't get it. And so you just have to listen to what we have to say. You just have to take our word for it. You just have to cower under what we think things should be, how things should go. You're not woke, if you will. And you can't be because you're privileged. You're this, you're that. This is not biblical wisdom. Biblical wisdom is accessible to anyone, no matter what your shade of color is, no matter where you grew up, no matter what town you grew up in, what city, what neighborhood, what your background is, what the history is. It doesn't matter. Wisdom is calling out and accessible to all of us. And the second thing we see under this heading is that wisdom is calling to those who need her most. Verse 5, O naive ones, discern prudence. O fools, discern wisdom. A naive person is someone who doesn't know any better. Someone who doesn't have the understanding. Someone who hasn't been taught. So they just bumble along at times, kind of naively stumbling into things they don't even know where they're going or what they're getting into. Wisdom is saying, you need me. Naive ones, listen, I have something for you so that you don't go through life naive. So you don't stumble down her street, right? In chapter 7, the woman of adultery, the woman of folly. So you know better. Well, what's the difference between a naive person and a fool? A fool knows better, but chooses the wrong way anyway, right? A fool knows what they should or shouldn't do, but chooses the wrong path. And the thing I love about this is that wisdom doesn't say, well, you chose that, so there's no more hope for you. It continues to call out, even to the fool. Come back. You know better. You've experienced, if you've been a fool and walked foolishly for a time, you've experienced some of the consequences of foolishness. Come back. Right? So wisdom continues to cry out to those who need her most. But she's available to all. And the last thing I want to say about this particular topic regarding the accessibility of wisdom, and that is that wisdom is a matter of faith and obedience. Again, it's not just for those who have a pure intellect. It is for anyone who is willing to exercise faith and obedience. And biblical wisdom begins with our exercise of faith in Jesus Christ. Right? It's coming to a place of understanding that my sin has separated me from a holy God. But God didn't just leave me in this state of helplessness and hopelessness. He did something about it. He sent His Son to this place so that through Him and through the sacrifice He made on the cross, He would provide a way for us to be forgiven of that sin and enter into a relationship with a holy God. We enter that relationship by faith, right? We put our trust in Jesus Christ, in His accomplishment on the cross at Calvary, on our behalf, for our forgiveness. We don't trust in our ability to change our life or our ability to do whatever, to be good enough, to have more good works than outweigh our bad. Jesus is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so He has made the way available for us. But we exercise faith to receive that gift of eternal life. And then that faith produces an obedience in our life. It's not going to be perfect obedience. We're still broken. We're still sinful and live in a sinful world. But we've been forgiven. And now this faith in Christ and this relationship with God is prompting us to be obedient to the Word of God. Now God is instructing us in His Word of what it looks like to live in a way that is honoring to God, a way that is responsive to His love and faithfulness to us. And so we begin a journey of walking according to the Word of God. Wisdom is a big part of that. We take what God says We take God at His word. We trust Him at that. And we begin to live in accord with that. Right? That's available to all. Anyone can do this. God has given us all the ability to respond to truth with a faith and obedience to Him. So wisdom is accessible. Second thing about wisdom is wisdom is valuable. What good is it if it's accessible if it doesn't have any value? Right? But it's valuable. He goes on in verse 6 to say, here's again, Lady Wisdom speaking, listen, she says, for I shall speak noble things. Oh, open my lips with to produce right things. My mouth will utter truth. Verse 8, all the utterances of my mouth are righteousness. Verse 9, they are straightforward to him who understands, right to those who find knowledge. Wisdom speaks truth and uprightness. Wisdom speaks truth and uprightness. The words that are used here, noble, right, truth, righteousness, straightforward, these words mean things like this: reliability, equity, excellence, justice, faultlessness, honesty, unswerving adherence to the standards of fairness, an ethical quality of life in actions. That's what these words mean. These are the kinds of qualities that wisdom is offering. Truth and uprightness. And then there are a few statements to contrast that, what wisdom is not offering, right? Secondly, wisdom does not distort the truth. Wisdom does not distort the truth. Verse 7, he says, wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Wickedness is that which is contrary to the character of God. Wisdom says, I don't speak things that are contrary to the wisdom or to the character of God. It says there is nothing, verse 8, nothing crooked or perverted in them, which means there's no deception or hidden agenda behind what wisdom has to say. As opposed to chapter 7, right, the adulteress, she has a whole agenda. And there's a deception going on there. Leaves a person wondering, what is the truth in all this? Wisdom speaks plainly. Wisdom speaks truth. Wisdom does not distort the truth. Wisdom speaks what is right and true and pure and lovely and excellent and just and fair, and honest. Wisdom is everything that we are looking for. How many times have you read something, right, recently or watched something and you just get all this stuff coming through, whatever means you're getting it from, and you say, I just wish somebody would just tell me what the truth in all this is, right? Is this thing really as bad as they say it is? Is wearing a mask good or is it not good? All these things that are going on, we just want to know the truth. If you tell me the truth, if you say and convince me wearing a mask is what's going to be the best thing for everybody, I'll wear a mask. But I don't know where the truth is. And so the hard thing is getting to that. We want the truth. We want to know. Even if the truth is not what we want to hear, at least we want to know it. How many times, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people who are either going through health issues or their spouse or their child's going through health issues and they're doctoring and they can't get a diagnosis. And they say over and over and over again, I just wish I knew what this was. Even if it was the worst possible scenario, at least I know. And I know I can, then I know what to do to deal with it. We want to know. Wisdom doesn't play around. Wisdom gives you the truth. Wisdom lays it out. And so, wisdom is the greatest treasure. Verses 10 through 11. She says, take my wisdom and knowledge rather than silver and gold. For wisdom is better than jewels. And all the things that you would desire in this world cannot compare with her, with wisdom. It's the greatest treasure. Better than riches. Better than anything you desire. In fact, we have an example of this in the Old Testament in 1 Kings chapter 3. David has now passed on. And Solomon is now occupying the throne. Solomon makes a sacrifice to the Lord, and the Lord says to him in verse 5, "Ask what you wish, and I will give it. Ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you." How many of us would want God to say that to us, right? Ask whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Sorry to say, probably, wisdom wouldn't be the first thing I would think. I would be like, well, I got a whole list of things I'd want, you know. But Solomon, it says, verse 6 and following, Solomon said, "Thou hast shown great loving kindness to thy servant David, my father, according as you have walked, as he has walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart before, toward you. And you have has reserved for him this great loving kindness that he has, thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made thy servant king in place of my father David, yet I am but a little child, and I do not know how to go out or come in." He said, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have a clue how to be a king. I don't know how to lead these people. And he says, "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people who cannot be numbered or counted for multitudes. So give thy servant an understanding heart," right, "a wise heart to judge thy people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of thine?" And as it was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing, and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you in all your days. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I'll even prolong your life." Solomon recognized profoundly the responsibility that had been placed on him, as well as the inadequacy of himself to be able to fulfill that responsibility. There are a lot of things that we might ask of the Lord, and we probably do ask the Lord. But if we truly grasp the responsibility God has placed upon us to represent Him in this world, to live in such a way that our lives reflect Him and glory to His name, and an example, a testimony to the world that is desperately needing a Savior. If we understood that responsibility, we would begin to realize we cannot do this. We cannot be this in our own strength. We desperately need wisdom to discern the difference between right and wrong in a culture that is upside down in so many ways. And the hardest thing about all this is that even in the midst of the distortion, there is elements of truth. That's why it's so hard. And that's how the enemy works. So we don't want to throw out everything because there's some things there that are being said that are right. It's just wading through it all. We need discernment. We need wisdom. God is offering it. It is the greatest treasure. It's what we desperately need more than anything else in this life. Well, wisdom is accessible and wisdom is valuable. The last thing I want to point out is that wisdom is sensible. It is sensible. Verse 12, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion." The word prudence means sensible behavior. Discretion is careful behavior that arises from clear thinking, and oh, how we need that. And so I just point out these three things. First of all, wisdom tells us how to behave. Sensible behavior. How to behave ourselves. If you move on to verse 14, 15, and 16, you see that wisdom says, counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I'm understanding, power is mine. We need counsel. We need understanding. We need sound wisdom. We need the ability to exercise it. She says, by me kings reign and rulers decree justice. We definitely need wisdom in our culture to give so that our leaders are making good and right decisions that bring about justice, fairness, rightness, that they rule properly. We need wisdom. Wisdom teaches us how to behave, how to live, how to act in our different circumstances and situations. Secondly, wisdom tells us what to hate. Verse 13, fear of the Lord. Where'd that come from, right? We haven't talked about the fear of the Lord for several weeks. Well, the fear of the Lord, as we remember, is the beginning of wisdom. It starts there. The healthy fear of the Lord. And we said that fearing the Lord means recognizing who He is, who He's revealed Himself to be, responding to who He's revealed Himself to be in worship and submission and praise. And then thirdly, is that submission. And so there's a recognizing God for He's revealed Himself, a responding, and then a submitting to that. That's what the fear of the Lord is. If we don't have a true knowledge of God, we cannot have a fear of the Lord. If our view is distorted and not biblical, we cannot have a proper fear of the Lord. This fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way, perverted mouth, I hate, he says. You know, if there's nothing else you get from this message, I hope you get this. We've got to know what we're supposed to hate. You know, so many times, you know, we just hear this message. God is about love, and so, you know, hate, there's no place for hatred. Well, there definitely is a place for hatred, because God hates sin. God hates evil. God hates things that are contrary to His character and His plans and His purposes. And we ought to as well. We need to know what we're supposed to hate, and we need to hate it. We hate evil. Every form of it. Whether it's in our own heart or whether it's out in society, we need to hate evil. We need to hate pride, and that should start with us. It's easy to look around and see pride and arrogance in other people, but we don't see it in ourselves. It is there. We must hate it within our own self. When it rears its ugly head, we need to do something about it so it does not continue in our life. We need to hate any way that is evil. And a perverted mouth, we need to hate. That should never be what comes out of our mouths. Perversion. Paul talks about that in Ephesians 5 when he says, don't even talk about the things that are done by them in secret. It's perversion. We need to know what we're supposed to hate. Wisdom tells us what to hate. And then thirdly, wisdom rewards us with God's favor. The rest of the chapter speaks about wisdom loving those who love it and diligently seeking it will find her. Because we seek wisdom, we find her. She's accessible to all, but we got to go after her. When we love her, she rewards us. Verses 22 down through verse 31 reveal that God exercised wisdom in creation. And if God exercised wisdom, shouldn't we? Verses 32 and 34. There's another appeal at the end here. Another appeal to to us, just as has been in so many of these sections leading up to this. Listen to me. Hear and heed the instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. You are blessed when you hear what I have to say, when you keep my ways, when you listen and come after this truth. And the last two verses, just a contrast. What happens when we listen, when we follow, when we take heed to this? He finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. God's favor rests upon those who've chosen by faith to receive His grace to begin with, and then who are walking in obedience and who are living out and pursuing this obedience, this wisdom, this favor. But, verse 36, he who sins against me, she says, injures himself. Consequence. It's a detriment to your own life to not embrace wisdom. And all who hate wisdom love death. You know, in some ways, I'm getting tired of saying the same things, right? Every week, it's the same thing from chapter to chapter to chapter. There are two paths. There's wisdom and there's folly. If you follow wisdom, God's favor will guide your steps. It doesn't mean it'll be perfect and doesn't mean that everything will go your way. God doesn't not necessarily interested in you getting your way. God is interested in him getting his way through your life. And his way sometimes involves hardship, difficulty, struggle along the way. But the way of folly is destruction, death. There's nothing good that comes of it. So we need to know. So what it comes down to is this: wisdom is calling to you. Are you naive? Listen. Are you foolish? Take heed. Are you neither of those? You're trying. Right? You're working at it, but you're struggling. Wisdom is calling to us all. Will we hear and heed the call of wisdom to embrace what God has for us, starting with a relationship through Jesus Christ, and then a walk with Him where we find life, where we find joy, we find peace in the midst of brokenness and chaos in our world. Let's pray.